Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the Edmore Sawgrass Buick GMC Studios, Morse has more. Visit EdmoreSawgrass.com. This is the Joe Rose Show on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and online at WQAM.com.
Yes! It's way too early in the morning to do that. It is the Joe Rose Show. Alex Donahue and Omar Kelly with you till 10 a.m. today. And Omar, I know that anytime like people like you and me who are not used to doing this shift, which is like unlike most shifts just in the working world, period. Like, I get it if you work at like a 7-Eleven or if you work in a hospital, you may have crazy overnight hours or early morning hours, but to have to like set your alarm to wake up before 5 in the morning is a very unique thing. And so when that's happening and when you're not used to doing it, you shared with me this morning a dream that you've had, like a nightmare you've had about this. And as somebody who, Omar, I worked the morning shift. It's been years, but I worked the morning shift for about 2 years, and I can very much relate to that.
Listen, I don't have fears about my Sun Sentinel job. Like, I don't dream about it at night like something haunts me. I've probably had like 10 dreams similar to this, which is that I wake up and I'm woken up by a nightmare of me waking up late, realizing I woke up at 9 o'clock and missed my 5 o'clock wake up to get here for a 6 o'clock shift to fill in for Joe. Now, it's always an honor to fill in for the Joe Rose Show because,
of course, yeah,
it is the Joe Rose Show.
It's an institution.
It's an institution. I've grown up listening to Joe Rose in the morning. And, you know, it's always an honor to be here. Now, the fear that I have is waking up late and missing the show. And unfortunately, I've had this fear like 10 times. Uh-huh. And this time I had a dream literally, and I woke up and it was 9 o'clock and I was late. And so unfortunately I had that dream at 4:40 and it forced me to get up earlier.
So you had the alarm set for 5.
Yes, absolutely.
And the dream about waking up at 9 woke you up at 4:40.
That's correct.
That sucks.
This is the I can tell you, I've had this dream. Oh, actually, I correct myself. I've also had a dream where I'm on the road and I'm supposed to wake up early to get to the game, a 1 o'clock game on time, and somehow I wake up at 1 o'clock.
Oh,
and
man.
Now I've never woken up at 1 o'clock in my life. Like, it doesn't happen. But, you know, these are the realities of living your life. And I'm one of those guys, I'm one of those rare human beings. And if you are like this, and you're probably driving or going to work at 6 a.m. in the morning on President's Day.
How many people, by the way, like what percent of offices work on President's Day? Is that a common thing? Because it seemed like when I'm
assuming
today,
kids don't have today. Kids don't go to school today.
Yeah, I don't think so. But I don't know like how weird it is to work on President's Day because, and I obviously am working on President's Day, but when I told some friends and family that I'm not working my regular shift today because I'm working for Joe Rose and Zach Krantz, who are off, they thought it was surprising that those guys were even off on President's Day. So I don't know. Is this like a weird day to have off? Because I know that different companies have different company holidays, but for our company, Entercom, this does thankfully have, well, I mean, not for me, but it does thankfully happen to be a company holiday.
You know what? I have, because I work in sports and have since 2000, I have absolutely no idea what are holidays.
Yeah, you're probably right.
None of
them.
Like, I work on Thanksgiving, I work on Christmas, I work on
New
Year's. Like, I don't have, like, Martin Luther, I have no idea what her holiday, so it makes no difference to me. Like, my holiday is a Tuesday.
a Tuesday off in the NFL. It's
your holiday. It's like, that's my holiday. So there are no such things as holidays to me, unfortunately. But, you know, usually I find out that, you know, kids have the day off, so it's you know, their holiday. My significant other works at a hospital, so.
Right, so does mine.
So she also has no days off. Yeah. You know, no holidays either, as you know, it is what it is. It's life.
You know, that fear, that nightmare you're describing about missing your alarm on a day when you have to wake up at 5 a.m. I know that as someone who I worked a morning shift for about 2 years in radio, thankfully, like, I wasn't the lead host, so it didn't like stop the radio station from running. But in my 2 years, it happened to me at least twice. Where you wake up in that cold sweat, and you're like, man, I feel a little bit better rested than I should be. Let me see what time it is.
And it's like
6:30 in the morning.
Oh.
And you've got 10 missed calls from the people you're supposed to be working with. I think it happened, to me a couple times.
The worst is the phone on vibrate. Those are always tough times when you know, because usually if you're missing something, somebody will call you and alert you. But yes. The phone on vibrate is always a tough situation. Also, since we're having this discussion, I know your wife works at a hospital and she does overnights, but mine does early mornings. Mm. And my problem is, and this is just between me and you, of course.
Of course, yeah, it's just two guys having a conversation.
Just two guys having a conversation here. She is a multiple snoozer.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, you know, so is my wife. So is my wife. So yeah, they hit the snooze every 9 minutes for like 45 minutes.
She's a two snooze button
two
person.
Snoozer?
Yes. So technically, I'm hearing the alarm three times. Now, we have discussed this in our relationship for over a year,
wow.
And she has actually gotten to the point now where she is a one or two snoozer, which allows me to sleep through it.
Yeah.
But once we hit two snoozes, well, she's a one snoozer, so I hear the alarm twice. But once we hit three alarms, like, I can't hear the alarm, go back to sleep.
Mm-hmm. It's
hear
tough.
The alarm, go back to sleep, and then hear the alarm again and go back to sleep. After
so
that,
you can handle two.
I can handle two. After that third snooze, I'm up. I'm officially up now.
That sucks.
Multiple hours, at least three, before I need to be up.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, she's done so much better.
Hmm.
It's only taken us about 18 months to work this out. And she's down to two snoozes, if that. So I'm blessed, and I call it blessed, to have been able to reschedule my internal clock. Because I'm one of those people where I wake up naturally. I don't really wake up to an alarm.
I can never do that. If I never set an alarm for myself, I could sleep until noon every day. I could. I choose not to, but I could.
I'm not one of those people. I can't sleep, Pat. If it's 9 o'clock and I'm still in bed, like, something's wrong. Or if I'm not drugged up, I can't sleep past 9 o'clock. Like, truth and honesty, if I don't take something, I'm going to be up till 2 o'clock in the morning.
Right. Same here. Yeah.
And it's just not healthy. So I've learned to start to take some you know, sleeping aids that'll allow me to go to bed at a reasonable time to get a good night's rest. I'll be up at 2 o'clock, and I'll still wake up at 7 o'clock.
See, yeah, that's for me. Like, if I wake up until 2 or 3, then I can sleep to 9, 10, 11.
And it doesn't. My body it won't accumulate until probably 3 weeks, where I realize I'm really exhausted, and then I just absolutely crash. But, you know, the body is a weird thing. Like, I could tell myself, okay, I want to wake up at 8 o'clock. And I'll wake up at 8 o'clock.
One of the things that I'm doing now with my life, as my wife and I are roughly a week away from welcoming in a child. We're roughly a week away from bringing a child, which I'm completely not prepared for.
Say goodbye to sleep.
Exactly. But here's the thing, Omar. Knowing that I'm a week away from having a child, I've been trying to do this thing over the last couple of months where I try and sleep as much as damn possible just so I can, because it seems like
you can do this with ease.
Yeah. So, but sometimes things like today get in the way, because obviously today I got a few hours of sleep.
You know that damn job.
Right. The job will try and get in the way. But for example, I had a hard time getting to sleep last night to wake up this early, because yesterday, literally, I slept until noon. I woke up at noon on Sunday, and then like 10 hours later, I'm thinking, damn, I've got to try and get tired to go back to sleep and wake up early for the Joe Rose show. So I've got one more week, Omar, maybe, you know, a week and change, week, 10 days or something, to try and get as much sleep as possible, because from what I've been told, and you have a son, so you can verify this, I'm probably not going to have a good night's sleep for, what, a couple of years, a few months?
No, about 6 months.
Why? That's still a long time.
About 6 months, especially with your wife doing overnight shifts. That means actually, she's not going to be working right after she has the baby.
Yeah, she's taking about 3 months, yeah.
Okay, yeah, all right. Yeah. So you've got 3 months of good opportunity to sleep, because if she's going to be nursing, as I'm sure she's going to be, she's going to have to be doing the heavy lifting for a little while.
There we go. That's what I like to hear.
Yeah, and then, you know, 3 months in, 3 months out of that, and she goes back to work, then welcome to Team No Sleep.
You've got
like 3 months of Team No Sleep till you can get your child in a pattern.
So you're going to see me, like, if you see me around, like any of the Dolphins off-season stuff, any draft functions, the OTAs.
My first question is going to be, how much sleep are you getting?
Yep, and my answer is going to be, not much, Omar. Not a whole lot. It's been about a week since I've slept. Oh, man, if you guys want to get in today, share your infinite wisdom with us via the phone lines, 305-567-0560, 954-567-0560, #560 on your cell, or you can always text us on the Kendall Toyota or West Kendall Toyota text line. Just don't text and drive. You can get us there at 56022. NBA All-Star Game last night, Omar. First of all, since we are both up working very early today, you have to wonder why they have to start that thing so damn late.
Oh, absolutely.
After 8:30 p.m. And I know it was okay. It was in Los Angeles. So for them, it was like a 5:30 start. But you can't do like a mid late afternoon game. You can't do like a 6 o'clock start for that. And I will say that I don't know if it was because they mixed up the format and you had the team captains who had picked, even though we don't know what order guys were selected in, but Team LeBron versus Team Stephen, Team Curry. I thought it was actually a semi-decent game last night for All-Star Game standards. And I think it's funny where people set the bar for an NBA All-Star Game because, and I poked a little bit of fun at this at the sports update, I hope people could hear the sarcasm in that. Maybe they couldn't, but you have people talking about how, oh, there was actually some defense played in the All-Star game last night. There was actually some defense played. They're saying that about a game where the final score was 148 to 145. Because relatively speaking, the last 2 years, the team that won the All-Star game scored over 190. So by that measure, 148. That was a chess match. It was a stalemate last night.
You know what's weird about this era and this generation of professional sports? These All-Star games have just become a sham, a joke, a mockery.
Yeah.
And I remember my childhood, and I hate to be that guy. I'm 40 now, for those who, you know, I'm four decades. And I fell in love with basketball during the Jordan heyday. And I remember the All-Star game being what I look forward to. This was, you know, before the major era of cable.
Yeah.
And I never had a chance to look at, Portland Trailblazers, Clyde Drexler. I never had a chance to look at Clyde Drexler because he didn't play on the nationally televised game during the weekend. And, you know, I didn't get NBA highlights because I didn't have, you know, there was no NBA TV. I didn't have cable and ESPN was in infantile stages.
Yeah.
So my only chance to see Clyde Drexler and maybe Magic Johnson and the Lakers was the All-Star game, because generally they didn't play on TV that I was watching, or, you know, maybe I saw them when they played the Heat the one time a year or two times a year. But All-Star game, I look forward to it every year because my chance to see the greats.
And everything seemed better back then. Like the dunk contest seemed like it was a lot more serious back in those days. Now it's just more, it's like performance.
Well, it was kind of a pretty good like 2 years ago.
It was.
That was the legendary dunk. But yes, we had bigger names then, and the bigger names were competing. Jordan cared about winning the dunk contest.
If this were 20 years ago, like for LeBron James to never do a dunk contest, that wouldn't be acceptable, right? Like it's acceptable now. Like, oh yeah, shouldn't do the dunk contest. He's LeBron. But back then it's like, you're LeBron, you have to do the dunk contest.
Yeah. And I'm not surprised, you know, I don't know. Vince Carter was probably the last great player that did the dunk
contest. Yeah, that was like 2000, 2001.
Yeah, I can't even sit there and think about anybody else
like
really
16,
worth mentioning.
17
yeah.
years ago.
I mean, yeah, and Reggie Miller used to do three-point shootout, Larry yeah. Bird, you know.
We did get some Ray Allen not too long ago in that.
Absolutely. It's I don't know. I'm enjoying the All-Star game a little bit more now. The All-Star week. A little bit more now than when I was a little kid and was watching. I mean, the game was important, mm-hmm. But All-Star Week is so much grander than it used to be. You know, hell, I'm watching the Celebrity Challenge. That was pretty interesting.
I did watch a little bit of that only because I was working. My producer that night while that game was on was a young Biff, who's a little bit off in certain ways.
Okay,
he was a huge fan of that Celebrity Challenge. Like he kept. Like during, and you know what I'm talking about with young Biff. Like, there's something a little strange.
What am
about
I missing here? Please, please
strange,
enlighten me, please. Since
strange.
We're having this discussion about young Biff, who I am not informed about.
Well, he's a 21-year-old frat boy.
Dono said it best. He's just a little off.
I mean, he's a 21-year-old frat boy, and just his brain doesn't necessarily work the same way that yours or mine or GQ over there does. But he was like getting really excited for the Celebrity Challenge, like in a way that I wasn't even excited about the actual All-Star game. So I can't, like, he must have just been full fanboy for the actual All-Star game. He was very excited.
Which celebrities was he enamored with?
He was a big Common fan. Huge Common
okay.
fan.
All right.
And he's a big fan of, like, you know, some of the former players, like Tracy McGrady. I think he was all over his jock as well. So I'm just doing a show that night, and during every commercial break, he would give me an update
on the
what
celebrity,
had just happened
okay.
in the Celebrity game.
Right.
And it was a huge deal that day that Bubba Watson, after shooting a round of golf in the morning, played in the Celebrity game at night. And I know young Biff was very impressed by his athletic accomplishment of doing that.
Yeah, golf is not a sport, so it's kind of easy to do.
Well, they do play more defense in golf than they do in All-Star games
yeah.
most
to,
of the time.
You know, I've had this debate multiple times over the air. Golf is not a sport. It's a leisure event.
It's like bowling.
A little bit more athletic than bowling.
I understand that, but my point is, and I'm not ripping golf. I suck
no,
at golf.
Bowling's a little bit more athletic than golf.
Oh, I see. I thought you were going the other way with that. Okay.
No. I have bowling injuries. I always have
really?
Bowling injuries. Yeah.
Do you have bowling shoes?
No,
okay,
I don't
good.
Have shoes.
I wanted
and in
to
fact,
make sure you
I'm,
don't have
I took my son bowling for his birthday last week, and what I found interesting was that not everybody wears bowling shoes anymore. Like,
really?
It's kind of optional.
I don't agree with that. I mean, then why offer?
Why
the
are
shoes?
They necessary though? Why are bowling shoes
well,
necessary?
I think it's because they want to be able to control the footwear and they're
for what?
So the idea would be you're not scuffing up the alley, you know? Because
I pay for it. You clean it.
But,
you got to clean it every day, don't you?
But they don't know what's going on with your shoes. Like, well, what if some chick shows up in heels? What if you show up in dirty shoes? Like, they want to be able to control the footwear.
But why does it have to have a slippery bottom? Why can't I wear rubber? Why can't bowling shoes have rubber on the bottom?
That makes the game more challenging, right? If you had traction, you'd be bowling strikes every time.
I mean, I'm not. Oh, no. No, even if I had traction, I wouldn't be bowling strikes every time. But, like, you know, why do I need to slip and slide on a bowling alley? I'm not bowling 300, so what's the point?
I did always wonder why you had to wear the bowling shoes. I feel like we need to get a little bit deeper into this on the other
absolutely.
Side.
Absolutely.
I also
Google
do wanna,
is our friend.
I also do want to fix the All-Star game, but fixing the bowling alley might be even more important. The Joe Rose Show continues next here on WQAM.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
This. Omar Kelly and I were both wondering why, when you're in a bowling alley, you need to get the bowling shoes, just outside of the idea that the bowling alley makes a couple of extra bucks from you, right? Like, it's a nice scam they have going.
Absolutely.
Oh, you need to rent the ball, you need to rent the lane, you
I
need
never
to rent
even,
the shoes.
I never even thought about the scam aspect,
yeah.
But go ahead.
Get a couple more bucks out of you. But here, according to the all-wise internet, this is why...
Google is your friend.
Yes, this is why bowling shoes are a thing. The heels of bowling shoes are usually made of rubber to make it easy to break your slide as soon as you release the ball. Now, that means nothing to me because I'm not a serious bowler, but you need to have these soles to break your slide as soon as you release the ball. People who bowl often might even have their own custom bowling shoes that have rubber soles on their non-sliding foot and a slippery sole on their sliding foot. So there is a technical aspect to why the bowling shoes are preferred over sneakers.
But
or
if
whatever.
I was wearing a regular like sneaker, why can't we just say if you're going to go bowling, wear sneakers? And if I was wearing a regular sneaker, wouldn't I have a rubber sole? Or do I need the slide?
You need to have the slide to be good. Like, right, you can keep being mediocre the way that you and I are bowling
yes.
with sneakers on.
I think I've hit 100 once
or
in my life.
If you want to make bowling, well, there you go. Same here. So if we want to make bowling great again, we've got to have the slide. I think that's the answer.
Anybody who uses make something great again. Did you see my brain shut down? Like, make what? Insert here, great again. I just turn off. The off knob just turns off.
Well, I had to bring it up because the president, wasn't he going after Oprah?
Oh, my God.
On Twitter?
I tweeted this out immediately. Not tweeted it out. I actually put it on Instagram because on the way here, and this is funny that I had this thought, and I wasn't even planning on having that discussion, but I had this thought in my brain because I was driving and literally the thought to my mind came up, what did President Trump rant about this morning that the whole nation and Twitter primarily is going to be up in arms about?
Well, let me guess, because Omar, I'm an optimist, so I'm thinking today is President's Day.
Yes.
He probably, in 280 characters, because you have more characters to work with than you used to.
Scary.
In 280 characters, I'm sure he offered a tremendous patriotic tribute to this country and to some of the great presidents that have come before him, like George Washington, the father of our country, who
You'd
could not
hope.
Tell a lie, Abraham Lincoln, one of the greatest men that God has ever made. What was the tribute like to the great presidents that came before?
You know what? To his defense, this wasn't his morning tweet because usually he's up at 6 a.m. You know, thank God our president actually wakes up early and tweets out something moronic or, you know, offensive.
Right.
But this was his late night tweet.
At
11:28 last night. I'm assuming after he finished watching the NBA All-Star game, you know, with all those African-Americans who are dribbling and should be shut up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Stick to sports.
Stick to sports, yes. Just watch a very insecure. I'm going to try my Donald Trump accent. Okay,
let me
get in character.
All right.
Just watch a very insecure Oprah Winfrey, who at one point I knew very well, interview a panel of people on 60 Minutes. The questions were biased and slanted. The facts incorrect. Hope overruns so she could be exposed and defeated just like all of the others.
It sounds like he's challenging Oprah to run. Like it's almost like it's
really
like a game
don't.
Of chicken. Like he wa- like, I think he wants Oprah to run against him.
I was having this thought while I was driving. I don't know why in the 20 minutes it takes me to drive here, I'm thinking about Donald Trump, because I hadn't seen this tweet.
Uh-huh.
I was just in my mind, I was thinking, what's Donald Trump tweeting about? What are we as a nation going to be up in arms about? Maybe he says something about the NRA and gun control or something important. But his tweet last night, 11:28, he went to bed thinking about Oprah, challenging her to run. And in my thought process while I was driving here, I was thinking, like, he's really not going to run for president again because all of the stuff that – I mean, not that a lot didn't come out last time he ran for president and he still won.
Right,
good God, like how many – he's got two sex scandals going on right now, the Russia probe – he's just been a completely incompetent president. And
well, I think he would disagree with that part.
Yeah, absolutely. Him and his defenders. And I also thought to myself, and I know this is sports talk radio, I'm like,
is it?
I had this conversation with my fiance last night because she has a friend who has a non-fiance, because he's been with her for 7 years and hasn't proposed.
Oh, wow.
Who has a boyfriend who is a Trump supporter.
Really?
And he's brainwashed the woman he's dating.
Oh, man.
To be his Trump supporter. And I said to her, I wonder how Sonia feel. Oh, sorry. Shouldn't have said the name. Beth, take that back.
code name.
Yeah. I wonder how Gabby feels.
Ah.
Knowing that she supported Trump, voted for Trump, and all of the things that have happened in the country, because I think her significant other is just still a Trump supporter. It's just in his nature, I think. And I just wondered, like, what do they feel like? And what do Trump supporters feel like seeing how this country has been led for the last year?
It's like, but to them, everything is great. Like, it's all spin. Like,
but what's great? They
would have looked. But before, like, the last 2 weeks when the Dow Jones was spiraling down the toilet, it was doing great. And they would be like, oh, well, look at the amazing stock market that we have right now. And then as soon as the stock market went bad, well, that was because of what Obama was doing before he left office. Like, they don't see it the same way, Omar. They see the positive spin on everything. They see why anything that you think is, oh, this is a terrible, horrible thing for the country, they see as, well, this needed to happen because we're draining the swamp, Omar.
Yeah.
We're draining the swamp.
Listen, and the thought process came up because I did watch that Oprah Winfrey 60 Minutes panel discussion, and I thought it was a very important discussion because these are, I think it was a roundtable of probably 12 people that they had a discussion with about the presidency before the presidents were elected. And it was just a very broad spectrum of a panel that apparently these people have continued their discussion on a text chain or Facebook chain or channel, you know, one of those private chats. They've continued their discussion about the world. And they even labeled the chat Hope because it's broad spectrum of people who have varying views and to discuss these issues out. And truthfully speaking, I think because we're in this age of social media, and you can follow who you want to follow. You can get your information from who you want to get your information from. You can have these conversations with people who generally are aligned in your thought process. And I've learned that myself, that yes, I'm a left-leaning individual. Even though I consider myself an independent, I don't consider myself a Democrat.
Yeah.
I consider myself independent. I just vote democratically because, you know, I'd like to vote. And when you're an independent, you really don't only get to participate in one election.
Yeah, you don't get primaries. I'm a libertarian, so I know how that feels.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't align myself with a lot of people who think like Trump or whose focus is on, you know, getting basically the people who have to worry about their inheritance. My thought process isn't aligned with yours. Mm. Not to say that you have an inheritance, Don.
I hope I do. I don't even know.
Yeah.
I got to ask my parents if I have anything.
So you don't know by now?
I have no clue. I'm
aware I have no inheritance.
Well, I know they got a house. Like, maybe I get the house.
I don't know. I once dated during this, you know, second life of mine. I once dated a girl whose inheritance was like $4 million. And she was going to get it when she turned like 40.
Sounded like a keeper. What happened?
Just certain things. Just, you know, the fact that her parents weren't really going to be comfortable with her. Well, they knew she dated an African-American man, but just, you know, you can't be serious about it. This is just a phase. That kind of didn't sit well with me. And, you know, she kept trying to, well, I shouldn't put her business out there, but she wanted to have a kid and a kid from me. And her parents would threaten her that if she had a child of color, she'd be out of the inheritance.
Wow.
Which is how I learned about the inheritance.
Interesting.
And her theory, her thought process was that once they saw the child, no matter what the child looked like, they'd realize it's their grandchild and they'd love them.
Yeah, which may be true, but you don't want to roll the dice.
Want to withhold the family money from the child.
Wow.
This is the America that we, you know, we live in. People just don't really know it because they're not African-American. They don't have to deal with the things that African-Americans have to deal with. So I said no to the child request, even though she said she wouldn't ever have to ask me for anything. Mm. She just wanted a child. And I was like, I'm going to pass.
I can understand now that you gave me the context. We got to hit a break, though. Well, will you let me fix the All-Star game next?
Absolutely. We'll stop addressing the world's issues, racism, and President Trump's morning tweets, and fix the All-Star game.
That's what we have coming up next. Alex Dono and Omar Kelly in for Joe Rose here on WQAM. Radio.com. the Joe Rose Show with Alex Dono, Omar Kelly, and with you here on President's Day. If you'd like to get in, share your infinite wisdom with us via the phone lines, 305-567-0560 or 954-567-0560. Get at us via the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line. But don't text and drive. You can reach us there at 56022. So, Omar, we were just watching during the break, again, the national anthem from Fergie. I want to get to that in a minute. But the first thing with the All-Star game, and of course, I was thinking about last night. I hope that they can wrap this up quick so I can get to bed, get a little sleep before the Joe Rose Show today. I knew that wasn't going to happen while I was watching the player introductions. So they had this idea where, and I get it. You're in the boardroom, you're in a meeting, you're coming up with ways to tweak the All-Star game, and I thought that the NBA had some good ideas this year, right? I thought that instead of doing just East versus West, having the captains, LeBron and Steph, pick their teams, I think the next step would be to actually televise the draft, because you kind of waste that opportunity when you just tell us, these are the teams. I don't know how we got to this point. I don't know who was picked first and last, but these are the teams. But that's beside the point. So I'm watching this last night, and I'm sure that they thought it was a great idea at a meeting. Let's have Kevin Hart, who everybody loves. He's on every TV show and every movie ever made in the last 3 years, so everyone must love Kevin Hart. Let's let him introduce every player. He'll do like a little riff track, a little roast of every guy, a one-liner when they come out. I'm sure they thought it was a great idea in practice. The problem was the player introductions took 45 freaking minutes, essentially. So here is Kevin Hart last night introducing our own Goran Dragic and a few others.
First-time All-Star from the Miami Heat is the first player from Slovenia to earn an All-Star honor and gain the nickname the Dragon, because like a dragon, his breath will kill you.
Oh, come
on. He was also an extra in Season 3's Game of Thrones. Give it up for Goran Dragic!
I don't think any of that's true.
This 5-time All-Star from the Boston Celtics was the 2014 Kia All-Star Game MVP. This guy also proves that leaving Duke early is a mistake. Not only does he think the earth is flat, he also thinks the Elvis works at a Target down the street from his house. Give it up for Kyrie Irving! This 14-time All-Star from the Cleveland Cavaliers was a 4-time Kia NBA MVP. He also makes everyone on his team wear name tags because they're all new. I'm talking about the captain of the East.
That's a little funny, yeah.
Dang! All right, this 5-time All-Star from the Golden State Warriors is a 2-time Kia MVP. The man jump shot is so good that you forget that he hasn't had a decent shape of a haircut in the last 5 years. Y'all show some love for Steph Curry!
But he did one of those like mini roasts for not just for the starters, for every single player who came out. And like I found it kind of interesting watching it on TV, because you had, since it was in Los Angeles, the All-Star game, it was, a celebration of the Lakers and the Clippers. You had on the stage, you had the Lakers girls on one side who were, as you would imagine, way hotter than the Clippers girls who were on the other side. Yeah.
You went there.
I went there.
All right.
One of the best.
I need to see them lined up.
One of the best tweets I saw last night was, and I wish I remembered who it was from to give them credit, but I don't, so I'm stealing the line. One of the best tweets I saw was, how do they run the auditions for the Clippers girls? Do they just take the next 12 who don't make the Lakers auditions? Because it was basically the B team for the Lakers girls. But these cheerleaders.
I need to see them now. I'm going to find them now. Clippers cheerleaders. Yes.
And I mean, I'm not saying they're terrible looking, but compared to the Lakers girls, there's no competition. And so the Lakers girls and the Clippers girls are just standing up there, like kind of having to like move around and dance a little bit.
They really set them up for failure. They're just swaying awkwardly for 15 minutes.
Right. They're standing up there just swaying during the entire introduction, and they probably assume they wouldn't be up there for more than like 3 minutes, because how long does it take to introduce all the players? Except when Kevin Hart's doing a roast for every single guy, it took a very long time. So I thought it was awkward, but nothing was more awkward than the national anthem with Fergie. And to be honest, first couple of bars, and she was looking good last night, but first couple of bars that she hit in the song, I'm thinking, man, okay, this is going to be a really solid, enthusiastic rendition of the Star Spangled Banner. And then things went off the rails a little bit.
Oh, say, can you see?
So far, so good, right?
By the dawn's early.
Wait a minute. Where are we going here?
I don't know. I don't want to know.
Okay.
What's so proudly waved?
That's not bad.
Well,
wait.
Whose broad stripes and bright stars?
See, I can understand where she's going. It's just she's not singing it well. It's like a jazzy national anthem.
It is. It's like it's, you take a lot of liberties, like with the style of the song.
We're so gallantly
streaming.
Yeah. See, she's off. See,
there's no F in there whatsoever.
See, I think she's out of gas here.
And then they kept showing faces of players. Oh, what's that? They kept showing like faces of players, well, and they were like, they're trying not to laugh. They're like cracking smiles.
Wait. She made it sexy, or tried.
Tried, didn't succeed.
Yeah. It's like when your girl like puts on like lingerie and starts to dance for you.
Should I take my hat off for this, by the way? Am I doing wrong here? Let's make some basketball. I don't know, man.
I think she said play.
Play. Yeah, maybe she did. I know Colin Kaepernick thought she did the anthem wrong there.
No, he did not.
Wouldn't it be funny if he tweeted about it after?
Yeah.
How dare you disrespect the national anthem?
See, I'm looking at these clips, not to end this Fergie discussion, but I'm looking at these Clippers cheerleaders, and maybe there's like one or two I wouldn't do.
You got to watch, though. You got to watch the video.
I'm trying to find it. I just can't. It's like...
It's just, and again, I didn't say there was anything terrible. It's just not the same. It's like you're pooling talent from the same city. Right, like you're auditioning.
You would think there'd be like a squad of 10,000 girls who would fit the, you know, cheerleader. I'm trying to find photos here.
In a city like Los Angeles, you'd think that the disparity in quality between the Lakers and Clipper girls wouldn't be where it is.
Well, I'm doing some investigative work here.
This is the important work being done. Oh man, I think there was a funny tweet sent out by the Miami Heat last night. And I don't know if this was like meant to be tongue in cheek, and I don't care, because on the one hand, it is very true that that Goran Dragic in his 10-year career has played in an All-Star game for the first time. Huge honor for him, right? I was very happy for Goran. I actually paid closer attention to this All-Star game than I have to most in recent years because of what it meant to Goran Dragic. Now, last year, the Heat didn't have an All-Star. Years prior, they had guys like Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh and LeBron who had played in 1,000 All-Star games. So watching Goran Dragic play in his first All-Star game was meaningful to me, and I know it was 1,000 times more meaningful to him. I thought it was funny that the Heat sent out a tweet with a picture of Goran undefeated in All-Star games. Undefeated. 11 minutes played, 2 points scored. Goran Dragic should have been your MVP last night. 7 o'clock hour of the Joe Rose Show coming up next year on WQAM.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.